What's up, everybody? Welcome into this edition of From the 50. We are live from the St. Louis, Missouri studios. I am in the makeshift studios because, as you can tell, it's not like you saw during football season because we're moving. We got new studios coming next season. But we got to keep the show rolling. We got a lot of draft to talk. We got the great Zach Zook on the road once again at his house. I don't know if on the road is necessary to say, but he is
on the road away from the studio, I guess.
Away from the studio. That's still on the road. Correct. We got a lot of football to talk about, a lot of picks to cover, and we got about 25 minutes to do it. So let's get started. I'm going to ask you the big question. With the number one overall pick, who do the Chicago Bears take? And I think we all know what you're going to say.
Yeah. I feel like we could do this kind of like 1 through 5, kind of 6 through 10. I'll kind of read them off, and you give me kind of your thoughts, and we can kind of jump through there. I feel like that'll help us get through it a little quicker. So number one, have the Chicago Bears taking Caleb Williams, quarterback out of USC.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no shockers at the top. Number two, like, I've seen some debate on who they're going to take. At the end of the day, for me, I feel like this is where these couple of months sort of drag on. I think that it'll still end up being Drake May. Now, I think he's the second best quarterback, so maybe that's just sort of my opinion leaking into it. I feel, though, that Adam Peters in the front office there in Washington will – come to the same conclusion. So I think Drake May, who I compared to Justin Herbert, is going to be the second pick. And then I think the Patriots are going to take J.J. McCarthy at number three, quarterback. Wow. Michigan. Last time they took a quarterback from Michigan, it worked out. So they're going to have to take one a lot earlier this time. But that's kind of the shocker for me, at least in the top five, is J.J. McCarthy, number three of the Patriots. I can see the front office and the ownership really liking him. It's still a lot of the same philosophies, even though Bill's gone. It's still a lot of like the same philosophies with Gerard Mayo that are left over running the show now. And what they look for in quarterbacks is, you know, kind of guys that have played a lot, guys that have won at the collegiate level. J.J. McCarthy checks those boxes, got prototypical size, maybe a little slender, but, you know, I think he checks a lot of those intangible boxes for New England. At number four, I have the Cardinals taking Marvin Harrison Jr. And at number five, I have the Chargers trading back with the Minnesota Vikings. They acquire pick 11, pick number 23. The Vikings trade both of those first-round picks, one of which they traded to earlier with the Browns this spring to accumulate that draft capital. They use that to go up and get their quarterback of the future, Jaden Daniels.
Wow. Wow. I'm shocked. I love it. And I do think, you know, you have put your Michigan fandom aside for this pick. I think you have gone into your bag on this one with J.J. McCarthy going three. And what's crazy is, I don't know why, but we've heard a lot more hype on McCarthy in the last couple weeks. He had a great pro day, but it seems like he's been the buzz, at least on social media, that there's a chance that he could go number three. Like, Jaden Daniels has been kind of the talk. It's him and Drake May at 2 and 3, but it was kind of like sign, seal, delivered. Then all of a sudden, McCarthy came out of nowhere the last like couple weeks. Is that something you've noticed, or did you kind of already have an idea that McCarthy could go that high, in your opinion?
I always kind of thought he was like an NFL guy, like the whole time watching him at Michigan. You know, you never know how high they're going to go till you kind of get into the process. I guess for me, like, the way I kind of had it ranked was Caleb number one, Drake not too, honestly, too far behind him. If he can just get more consistent, I'm telling you, he's going to be a top 10 quarterback in the mm-hmm. league. And then I think there's a pretty substantial gap. And then I think JJ's better than Jaden Daniels. I like Jaden Daniels a lot. He feels like his like processing speed is not quite there. Mm-hmm. And when you're getting thrown into like a potentially crap situation, now if he's going to the Vikings, I think that's like a dream scenario for both parties. I think he's going to work if he goes to Kevin O'Connell. I think that would be a really great fit. So, I mean, I kind of hope it happens. But yeah. I think J.J. would be a good fit there, too. I don't know. I just think that J.J., it's not about that he can't do some of the things. It's that they didn't ask him to do certain things. If you look at, like, third down efficiency and third down passing, J.J. McCarthy on third down is one of the best in the country in college football, really, the last couple years. And one difference – interesting statistic I kind of came across as I was kind of going through all my stuff, was J.J. McCarthy on third down. His passes are they have more air yards under them consistently, which means he's throwing it to and past the sticks to pick up these first downs. Mm-hmm. Another quarterback that's in the top six in this class that is very good on third down is Bo Nix, but a substantial number of his passes are not traveling to the line to gain, meaning they're scheming guys open underneath and the throws are much easier to make. And then guys like Troy Franklin, his backs, Bucky Irving, they're then picking up the yardage themselves. So the throws are in actuality not as difficult. So I just think J.J. McCarthy is pretty polished coming out. I think he knows how to get you through a football game, and I think he's just going to get better. I think the main thing he's got to improve upon is kind of his consistency too. Mm-hmm. He still will have just some what the fuck plays.
Sure.
Like first play of the Rose Bowl, should have thrown an interception to Alabama. Lucky the guy's foot was on the line.
Mm-hmm.
But so, you know, I think you can make your argument that Jaden Daniels is better. They're close. I just kind of had McCarthy edging out Daniels. When I think of the Patriots, I can more easily see that regime kind of taking a guy like JJ, who's a little bit more comfortable and has proven that he can be effective in an offense where he's passing 20 times a game. The Patriots have never been like a high volume operation, and Jaden Daniels comes from something that's quite the opposite.
I'm shocked you have so many takes on J.J. McCarthy. I have no idea where that comes from. I mean, it's not like you watch the guy every single game for the last how many years, you know?
I've watched every snap he's played at Michigan.
Is
literally
right?
Every snap.
Yeah. I don't doubt that. That's 100% true.
I'd say the next guy I've watched the most of was Caleb Williams. I feel like I've watched 8 or 9 of his games live, like over the past couple seasons at USC.
Mm-hmm.
The guy I had to like go back after the season and watch the most of was Drake May, because I did not watch much UNC this year.
Yeah. No, we have to have a whole nother podcast on the Caleb Williams thing on what you and I have kind of discussed. First, it was, will the Bears actually get rid of Fields? Now that it's happened, the question is, how good will Caleb Williams be? So we'll have to save that for another podcast. But Zook, let's keep it moving as my dog freaks the fuck out. Let's go to 6 through 10.
All right, 6 through 10. I have the New York Giants taking Malik Nabers. At number 7, I have the Tennessee Titans. A lot of people think they're going to take a lineman. They very well could. I've been taking the wide receiver out of Washington, Rome Odunze, at number 7 overall to give Will Levis some weapons. At number 8, I have Dallas Turner, the edge defender, going to the Falcons. Falcons, if my memory serves, was 30th in the league in sacks last year. They have got to get more consistent pressure on the quarterback if they want to be good at all. And then number 9, I have the Bears with that second pick getting Joe Alt in this scenario, the tackle from Notre Dame. Really consensus number 1 tackle in this draft. I don't think there's a ton of variance in opinion on that. This would be a dream first round for Chicago. They get Caleb Williams, and then they end up getting the number 1 tackle in the draft, slipping to him also. I know they've got Braxton Jones, and they've got Darnell Wright too. I think when you've got a player this good, like, fuck it. Kick one of them to the inside, or you sit Joe Alt for a little bit. Like, he's too good to pass up on, in my opinion, especially with the top 3 wideouts off the board. And number 10, I have Taliese Fuaga from Oregon State, the tackle, going to the Jets. They have been a consistent team that's been mocked to take a skill guy. But one thing you have to keep in mind, Aaron does not like throwing to young guys. So I don't think the Brock Bowers thing like is a total fit here. Not that they're not going to do it. I don't see them going as much in that direction, especially when they have such a problem at offensive line. And like, if he goes down, bye-bye to number 1 their season and everybody's jobs.
A lot of good storylines there. I think everybody could agree that Nabers will go in the top 10, not even a question. There was a report today, I forgot, it was a blue check mark, I forgot who it was, bad hosting on my part, that said Nabers has been looked at as a better prospect than Marvin Harrison Jr. by some NFL execs, so that could be an interesting storyline. But I think that's a good spot for him to go at 6. Also, I think the Bears would like the kid from Washington, the receiver, to be able to kind of drop to 9. I think that'd be a perfect first round for them. But if not, you're right. Just kind of get ready for that offensive line now. I know they got Keenan Allen, and they added to their receiving core already. But I don't know. It might not be bad to add another rookie stud receiver that they expect. And the one big shot, or the big surprise for me, was Brock Bowers out of the top 10 for you. That's kind of wild.
Yeah, I think that come draft night, you might find that to be the case. I just don't see with all the quarterbacks getting taken so high and then some of the other needs, like I don't think you're taking Brock before any of those three receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've got four quarterbacks going in the top 10, there's just not a whole lot of room to place him there, right? So if we move along here, 11 to 15, 11 was the Vikings pick, but we mocked that trade. So this would be the Chargers pick. And I see Jim Harbaugh, man. You know how he wants to build the team and how he wants to win. But that said, that doesn't mean he's got to get an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman right off the rip. Keep in mind, Michigan had six offensive linemen invited to the combine this year. You only get to start five of them. He had six of them go to the NFL combine, and none of them are projected to be first round picks. He can get some offensive line help later on in this draft because of his knowledge of the college game that he's going to carry over to the league. I think he gets Brock Bowers here, who he remembers facing in the playoff and who has just torn up college football. If you remember his San Fran teams, they had Vernon Davis. I think Brock Bowers is a little bit like Vernon Davis in a lot of ways. Yeah. Like you can split him out.
Yeah.
He is a complete athletic unicorn. So I think that that's a great fit, and I think it fits perfectly. That's why they're begging to drop down to 11, because I think they might even take him like at 5.
It'd be perfect for them to be able to trade back and still get the guy that you're right, that we're going to take at 5. You know, that's interesting. Yeah.
Now, to me, like if you don't make the deal at 5, like I think you've got to take one of the receivers over him. I mean, Chargers at this point don't really have anybody that can catch the football.
It's Quentin Johnson, right? Quentin Johnson's the only guy that's left, I think.
They still have Palmer there, who I actually think will be the number one receiver. Because, I mean, dude, Johnson.
Brutal.
Another guy that Harbaugh's defense could not fucking cover in the playoff game. Maybe he'll be able to get something out of him. But so far through his rookie season, he has not been it. So,
a lot of drops.
But, yeah, they need help to help out Justin Herbert. But I think that's part of the deal. Like, highly paid quarterback. He's clearly going to try to build through the offensive line and run the football. So like part of that is not having great weapons out on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
I have Jared Verse going to the Broncos at number 12, Quinyon Mitchell going to the Raiders at number 13, the corner out of Toledo, Olu Fashanu, the tackle for Penn State, going to the Saints at 14, and then Cooper DeJean, cornerback, Iowa, going to the Colts at number 15.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a good rundown. I don't have as much knowledge as these picks as the other ones, obviously. But the one that stuck out was Brock Bowers. Perfect scenario for the Chargers if they trade back to a guy that probably could be a top 10 talent. Brock Bowers has been talked about for a long time as a top tight end guy that you think could cornerstone your offense. So could be perfect for them. And then, yeah, I know Cooper DeJean's had a lot of storylines around him the last couple weeks, and he's a stud. That dude's insane. So.
Well, earlier this week, he tested for some NFL teams and ran in the 4.4s and had just a great testing day. This is being cleared medically for a month. Like, he's had a month to prepare for this, coming off of the broken leg that ended his last season at Iowa. And Chris Ballard is like, he is a traits guy. Mm-hmm. It also fits a position in need for them. The Colts need some secondary help. He might not take DeJean, but like he's gonna take like kind of like an athletic freak type. And DeJean fits, man. He can play all five positions in the secondary. I think he's gonna go a lot higher than people think. The one thing that our audience might notice through that group, if you've watched a lot of mock drafts, is no quarterbacks at 12 or 13 to either the Broncos or the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're at that point where I think the media and the fans and the radio hosts and everybody clamoring for quarterbacks, you can't pass on these quarterbacks. I think we've officially gotten to that point where the media and everybody else likes some of these guys more than the league actually does.
And so, honestly, I think Bo Nix is a big time step down from the top. Was it top four guys that you talked about? And then I guess would you put Penix above Bo Nix, or would you put them about the same level?
By a lot. I really put Penix above Bo Nix by a lot.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think actually, let me go to my bad radio. Let me go to my little thing here. Yeah, I have Penix graded above Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
I think he's really good.
So do
I think it's all about the medical with him.
Do we see one of those quarterbacks off the board at 16 through 20, Zook?
I'll tell you. So at 16, the Seahawks take Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas. The Jags take Alabama cornerback Tyrion Arnold. At 18, the Bengals take tackle from Alabama, J.C. Latham. At 19, the Rams take tackle, well, really kind of do-it-all offensive line guy, Troy Fatanu. And then at 20, the Steelers take tackle Amarius Mims from Georgia.
That was a terrible one by me. I was trying to do a great segue into 16 through 20, and I'm sitting there going, there's not one team that needs a quarterback in this bunch.
There is, you know. Let me tell you, when I was going through this, I legitimately struggled with the Rams for 10 minutes.
Really? Interesting.
I think the Rams could potentially be a sleeper team. I ended up looking up Stafford's age. He's 36. So I think they're maybe a year too early.
Why do you hate Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, in the guy that I think that they would draft in this scenario would be Penix. And he's not a guy that you really want to probably have take a redshirt year. He's already a very old prospect, you know, just in terms of the rest of the guys on the board. So he's not probably somebody you want to have sit two, potentially 3 years if Stafford plays till he's close to 40.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, they're looking, you know, at least a little bit for the next guy. They tried to have Stafford take a pay cut before last season, and there had been rumors about him potentially getting traded. So, like, definitely something to keep an eye on. But at the end of the day, I had them go with the tackle from Washington, who can play all five spots along the offensive line, would help them out a bunch.
And now the Steelers, who went from, you know, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, now go to Russell Wilson, and to me, the bigger story, Justin Fields. So
yes.
They have a lot of things to figure out their quarterback, but they have enough talent that they don't have to worry for a while. Hot take real quick, Zook. I want to hear your take on it. Is Justin Fields the starting quarterback of the Steelers by week three? I think absolutely.
I thought you were going to say week one. And I was going to say there's zero chance of that. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Russell's job.
Yeah.
But
right.
I think at some point, yes, he's going
to
start.
Week
three feels a little early, but if and when they struggle, and I think the chances of that are high,
mm-hmm.
They're not fucking around, man. That's why they brought him in. So
yeah. I think he's the future. I am very high on Justin Fields. I'm telling you right now. I don't know why it is. I've watched the guy a lot as a Lions fan, and the dude, he's got talent. I mean, he's been hurt. The Bears didn't do him any favors, really, but I'm excited to see him elsewhere. I think he could be elite. I really do. I really do.
Yeah, I'm the fit to me is weird. We'll see what this offense for Pittsburgh now looks like post Matt Canada era. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. I kind of wish he went somewhere else personally, because I believe in the talent too. Like I thought he was, I think the, I'm trying to jog my memory and go back in time here. I think I had him as like the second best quarterback in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was clearly a believer. And still am to a degree. I just think you got to put the right system around him. And I don't know if he's going to be given that benefit of the doubt at this point in time in his career. Steelers, by the way, and I think you could group a couple of teams in this 10 through 20 into that case. Would not be surprised to see them go receiver, maybe Brian Thomas Jr. Colts are a team that I think could do it. Steelers definitely could too. Really all they have is George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth. I know they got Deontay Johnson, but he's aging and often injured. So
didn't Deontay Johnson just get traded? He's with the Panthers.
Maybe he did.
He's with the Panthers, I think.
So then they really are even one man less than I thought. So
I'm pretty sure. Let me double check. This is me thinking I saw him on Twitter taking passes from Bryce Young. Let's see. Deontay Johnson. Carolina Panthers. There he is. Okay.
Very well could be. Yeah.
I thought I saw that. That was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, so they've got Pickens and Freiermuth and not much else there. So I could see them going wide receiver instead of the tackle, but I gave them Amarius Mims for the purpose of this exercise. 21 through 25 is kind of interesting. Another team I think to keep an eye on for a quarterback is sneaky, the Miami Dolphins. I don't think they're going to do it, because I think ultimately that would put so much pressure on Tua. I think that they're going to see what he does this year. And I think there's a very, very real chance that they do not extend him after this year. And then they take a quarterback.
I can see that.
But for this mock draft, I had him taking Graham Barton, listed as a tackle from Duke. But again, guy that can probably play all five spots. People think he profiles and projects best as a center. I seriously think he can play outside at tackle. I love Graham Barton. So he's going at 21 to the Dolphins, who have a need there. At 22, Eagles get Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback, Alabama. The Chargers with that second pick, I have them going Chop Robinson, edge player from Penn State. 24, then the Cowboys get Jackson Powers Johnson. He's the best interior offensive lineman in this class, in my opinion. And that leaves the Packers, Nate Wiggins, at cornerback at 25.
God, you took two of my guys I wanted to drop to 29 in your draft, Wiggins or Chop Robinson to the Lions. So that's I'm not expecting them to be there, but it makes me sad to even hear in your mock that they didn't even get close to 29.
Well, so let me give you some optimism then, because I had just kind of I really had the toughest time. I'll be doing one more of these. If you're watching this, follow me on socials. Oh. I'll be doing one more of these before the draft.
Zook 2.0. Right, we get a 2.0.
Yeah. So I'll tweak it, though, as like I get new information, maybe change my mind on a couple things. The Eagles pick, though, to give you some optimism is one of them. I have no idea where they're going with this. They have a need at corner. They have needs in some other areas, though, too. I think Jackson Powers Johnson's a great fit for them at 22. Mm-hmm. They just lost Kelsey. They can plug and play Powers Johnson, and that gives them the ability to just leave Landon Dickerson, who they drafted from Bama, at left guard. He was a center at Bama and I think was kind of the heir apparent to Kelsey, but he could just stay at left guard then if they took this kid from Oregon. So Howie also historically does not take corners high. You got to go back a long ways to the last time the Eagles took a cornerback in the first round, and McKinstry was not like the greatest tester. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think he's not like a unicorn like some of these other guys, but his tape's really good. And he's just a great instinctive football player. So I think that they could break the trend. That's why I ended up giving them the corner. They definitely need it. And then the Packers at 25, I don't know if they'll love Kool-Aid. I love Kool-Aid, but the Packers love high Raz guys. Do you know what Raz is?
No.
Relative athletic score. It's out of 10.
Okay.
The Packers almost always take a guy that is young and has a high RAS.
Is it just pure athleticism? Like, how do they even measure that?
They calculate it based off like the 40, like your explosion, like the three cone drill, like that stuff, like your bench, like your vertical leap, like all that stuff gets put into kind of a group and it gives you a number out of 10. The Packers are notorious for taking guys that are like 9+ out of 10.
Okay.
Kool-Aid does not fall into that category, but Nate Wiggins does. That's why I had him at 25.
He had a great 40 and then he got hurt. I don't know how serious it was. I just remember him going down, but I guess he's okay. I don't know.
I saw like a report the day it happened. He'll be ready for OTAs. I think he just kind of tweaked something, but you know, it's always stuff that gets pulled through. Like, it gets gone through with a fine tooth comb. The one thing I could see Nate Wiggins sliding even farther than 25 is he's like 170 pounds soaking wet. So, like, that could push him down the board for some teams. It could push him down or off the board for the Packers at 25 even.
So, Zook, as you go through, go ahead and go through. I know we got to get out of here. 26 through 32. Before you go to the Lions, like, just let me guess. I got to guess. Okay. All right.
I don't think you're going to guess it, by the way.
Okay. Then I'm way off then.
At 26, I have the edge defender Liatu Latu going to the Bucks. He is an edge defender from UCLA. I think one of the best in this class. He's a little older, though. And like, I think he lacks kind of some of the explosion of some of the other guys. So he ended up kind of slipping in this one for me. I think that could happen, but I'm a fan of the player. At 27, I have the Cardinals getting Jerzon Newton. Out of Illinois, defensive tackle. At 28, the Bills just get Brian Thomas Jr. just falls into their lap. I mean, that is lucky. I don't think, honestly, I don't think he's going to drop to 27, to be honest. But he did in this, and so that's a kind of a no-brainer, I think, for Bean if that happens. And at 29, the Lions.
Darius Robinson from Mizzou?
It is a Mizzou player. It's not Darius Robinson. I did look at him, though, for the Lions there. I wouldn't be shocked if that's the pick. Mm-hmm. I have him taking Ennis Rakestraw from Mizzou, the corner.
Yeah, sure.
He didn't test the best, ran in the 4.5s, which is kind of on the slower end for a corner, especially a corner that you're going to draft in the first round. But he is a guy I could really see Aaron Glenn and most importantly, Dan Campbell liking. Mm-hmm. He plays zone coverages very well. played cover three very well at Mizzou. The Lions like to do a lot of that, and he can play underneath zones too when they get the split coverage, when they've got Kirby Joseph and, well, it used to be Tracy Walker. For how they like to play, he's a scheme fit for Aaron Glenn's defense unless they're going to overhaul kind of the coverages they're going to play. And I think that his willingness to tackle and come up in the run game is going to be something that Dan Campbell likes. I could totally see him taking a guy like Darius Robinson end of the first round. I think Darius Robinson is just a little, I don't think he has like the explosion. I don't think the first step is there. He to me just kind of lacks some of the special. I like to see like in some of the first round guys. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're pretty set, honestly, on the edges. Like, he's going to be definitely relegating someone to the bench if they took him super high, like Okwara or some of the other rotational edge guys they have there.
Yeah, I mean, they got Marcus Davenport to help a little bit. I mean, they got DJ Reader as a D-tackle. Like, they got Hutch on the other side. So I think that's the one thing they're missing besides cornerback. I mean, they did go out and they got
they addressed the corner need. Like, they do not have to take a corner here.
Right, they got Carlton Davis. They got, I mean, with Cam Sutton, that whole thing going on, I think he was going to be the number two now when Carlton Davis coming in. But they got the guy from the Raiders as well. That's I'm kind of losing it right now. And
Robertson.
Yes, Amik Robertson.
I loved him coming out, by the way.
Really? Interesting.
Hated that he went to the Raiders. Anybody the Raiders pick, I hate that they go to them. So it'll be interesting to see kind of which direction they go at 29. I think another guy to keep an eye on, TJ, if I was you, if they decide to go offensive line, keep your eye on, I think his name's Zach Frazier from West Virginia.
I don't think they need offensive line anymore. I mean, they got, is it Zeitler from Baltimore? They brought everybody else back except Jonah Jackson. So, I mean, do you really need offensive line?
I think that they could use like some more depth on the interior. He would be a guy that I know Dan Campbell likes. He plays very physical, four-time wrestling state champion in high school.
Yeah.
So he fits their culture. And the Lions draft culture fits. I mean, they draft a specific type of player, and if you don't fit it, they're not taking you. So
yeah,
he's a guy I'd keep an eye on too. If not even, maybe you even get him in the second round. But
interesting.
He's a guy I'd keep an eye on. The last three here with Baltimore, Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver, Texas. At 31, the Niners get Tyler Guyton, tackle, Oklahoma, and then rounding it out, the Chiefs go back to the wide receiver well and take Troy Franklin from Oregon.
Okay. This is 1.0, mock draft 1.0 from Zach Zook, our draft expert. None of us know anything about all these guys. Like, Zook watches a ton of film for PFF. Obviously, if you listen to our show on Sundays, like, we all just bullshit, and we all kind of know football. Zook is a fucking encyclopedia, so he's the guy on the show that should be doing this stuff. Appreciate your time, bro.
Yeah, dude. Sounds good. Hey, don't forget to, audience, leave a comment. Leave your hate down below. We want to hear it.
Yeah, how is Zook's going to be done? And is it maybe right away that J.J. McCarthy doesn't go three and this whole thing is...
You don't have Penix or Nix in the first round.
You're a Michigan
round,
fan.
Idiot.
This is bullshit.
Fucking dumbass.
Idiot. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be great. He's at
leave
Zach
it below.
Underscore,
I want to hear it.
Zach underscore Zook on Twitter. If you want to chirp him during the draft, just send him a bunch of DMs when he's wrong.
Definitely definitely do it during the Packers pick, because whoever I want the Packers to take, they will not do it.
Yeah. That sounds about right. But hey, the Packers are back. You guys are good. You'll be fine.
Packers are back.
You'll be fine. All right. That's Zach
Zook. Like we never left.
I'm TJ Weber. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon. Peace.